Greetings.
Welcome to podcast two of Movie Banter.
Yes, you had to stop and think, didn't you?
I did. Yes, this is Movie Banter part deux.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm trying to use a movie reference.
Oh, I see. Which will come up in a short one.
I don't know.
Your heart's not quite in this.
So I don't know how you introduce a podcast, because it's meant to be, you know, sort of unscripted and loose.
I'm getting flashbacks to Eddie Izzard's first stand-up thing when he comes on stage and says, all you can do is just walk out and go, hello.
Well, exactly.
You can't really have a big ground. We could have a theme. We discussed the idea of a theme.
Yeah, we tried to find a theme, and it didn't. If you have an idea for a theme, send it in.
That's very good. Something copyright free.
Yeah, not the 20th Century Fox fanfare. That would be impossible. But yes, welcome. If you've stuck with us, then thank you for making it through part one.
Yeah.
I'm Paul Carenza.
I'm John Sands.
And this is Movie Banter, the podcast that takes a look at the film world and like the Titanic looking at the iceberg. And the only difference is that we career on into it with no thought or consideration for anybody on board.
Exactly. We plough in and we frankly hope they all drown.
Exactly. So so welcome aboard. let's hope that
you live.
Exactly. So welcome. This is number two, and this is being recorded on Thursday, the 20th of November, 2008. So that gives some sort of context to the podcast, and it's just banter about films generally. May I begin by saying that in this week in movie film history, what do we have? Marty McFly travelled through time from 1955 back to 1885.
Was that November?
Was November 16th, that was.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go, just four short days ago. What else have we got? Elizabeth I, crowned queen from the film Elizabeth, but also from reality, so that's boring. Lord Greystoke was born and adopted by Carla the Ape. That's from Tarzan. So there you go. That was in 1888. So there you are.
Right. Was that during the reign? No, of course not.
No, my history is in no way at all.
I don't know. I've not been well.
No, you haven't. Which is why, so, this is more of a film looking forward this week. Previews rather than reviews, I suppose, in a way. Partly because he's been ill.
Well, yes. This week I've been ill and Paul's been working. So our cinematic viewings have been slightly tempered.
But do not turn off, because we have plenty still to report on. We're going to be talking about movie presidents and about Oscar hopefuls as well. They've been announced today, I believe, some sort of best picture possibles. And you've seen a couple of films as well, haven't you?
I went to see Easy Virtue.
Easy Virtue.
Last weekend, before I was ill.
Do you want to pop that review in now, or do you want to leave it till later?
Yeah, no. Well,
I'm enjoying it now.
Easy Virtue, it's based on a Noel Coward play. It's more probably one more for the Brits or Anglophiles among you than the Americans. It's a very British film.
It's got an American in it, though, hasn't it?
It does have an American in it.
Jessica Alba or Beale?
Jessica Beale.
Okay.
Yes, Jessica Beale can act better than Jessica Alba.
Right.
Not necessarily Oscar-winning level, but she's a better actress. She's not as bland looking.
I always get the three confused because they're all sort of attractive, kind of.
Aaron, who's
bland.
The third? You only mentioned two:
Alba, Beale, and Fletcher.
Well, yeah. Jessica Fletcher is, of course, the hottie in the list.
Absolutely. Murder, She Wrote.
Exactly. And Solves Crimes, which none of the other two have ever done.
Oh, yes. The way she rides a bike across a riverbank.
Okay. Paralysingly scary insight into your mental well-being. Jessica Biel, who plays an American, who marries the young son of a British aristocratic family in the 20s, and then he brings her home to meet the family, and hilarity ensues as the mother doesn't get on with her and the father gets on with her a bit too well. And it's slightly uneven in parts because it's not quite... Well, I wasn't quite sure where it was going for a degree of it. It starts off a bit like a 20s set Monster-in-Law with the mother-in-law clashing with the new daughter.
Hang on, Monster-in-Law, that's the film.
Oh, sorry, Monster-in-Law with Jessica Lopez.
That's right, sorry.
And I can't remember who the mother was, actually.
Whenever I hear Monster-in-Law, I always think of Monster, first of all, which is the Charlize Theron as a scary lesbian psychopath. Monster-in-Law, the sequel to that.
When she gets married.
Went for the more comedy approach.
Yeah,
more slapstick.
Slightly more cloud...
Pratfalls and murder, that sort of thing, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
So this is slightly more like Monster-in-Law than Monster.
Right.
So it starts off with the two women clashing and the men in the family sort of trying to get by. But then it takes a more interesting turn. It doesn't wrap up quite how you'd expect. It wraps up how it should, but not how you'd conventionally expect it to pan out, which makes for a more interesting viewing. And it does have some very funny moments. Colin Firth, as the father of the family, is brilliant because he essentially doesn't care. The character doesn't care. Mm. I think the actor cares very much because he does a good performance.
Is he called Darcy in it again? He seems to be in most films called Darcy in some sort.
No, that's only three, if you include two sequels.
Three's plenty.
Well, yeah, that is true. Yeah, but those two are essentially the same. And Pride and Prejudice wasn't even...
What are the three, then? What are
you thinking? One thing, Bridget Jones and Bridget Jones 2.
Yeah.
And then Pride and Prejudice wasn't a film. That was a TV show.
It's definitely a film.
It's a mini-series. It's not the same.
No, Keira Knightley was in the film.
Yeah, Colin Firth wasn't in the film.
Not the point.
I think I've minded it.
Balls.
You took an extra long swig of water then.
As he realised...
I am undone!
You'd gone slightly wrong.
Yes. He was, I'm sure, in another film. Wasn't he in Love Actually called Darcy?
No.
Or no, he had a dog called Darcy.
There
was definitely a Darcy in another film.
Sure? Are you just making this up to save your face?
There was, and I'd Google it if my internet connection was working. But he's definitely there was a dog called Darcy in a Colin Firth film.
Really?
I hear that he tries to crowbar it in wherever, which is obviously
I've never heard that. You're making that up
I have definitely heard it that he tries to crowbar it because it's the reason they did it in Bridget Jones because he asked them to. But it does
No, Bridget Jones, the character is called... In the book, it's called...
Well, alright, it's not.
The character is called Darcy.
I'm making up trivia now. But no, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that he tries to wear... But like, that's why there's definitely a film that he's in where the dog is called Darcy.
Right.
And I heard
somewhere... You sure you didn't read that in a note you wrote yourself?
No, it's true. And I heard somewhere that he tries to crowbar it into the film wherever possible, which is... It's a tall ask, really. I can see, you know, an actor saying, "Oh, I've got. Can you fit my brother in as an extra or something?" That's kind of an easy crowbar.
Yeah.
But to go up and say, "I'll be in this film, but only if you change all the characters' names," I want to be called Darcy,
I'm facing this with a healthy dose of skepticism.
You'd find out.
I've never heard that.
We'll report back podcast number three
when I get home to my working internet connection.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll investigate.
Okay.
And hopefully prove you wrong.
Oh, fair enough. In the meantime.
But anyway, Easy Virtue, it's slightly uneven, but it does have some funny moments and some more serious moments. It's more of a very light drama. It's a very 20s set, very English film, which may appeal to some and may not. But I enjoyed it. Well, the things that there are to criticise about it are massively outweighed by the things there are to enjoy in it. And it's also nice to see that Jessica Biel actually sort of acting properly in something.
What else has she been in then? Was she in Sin City? Was that one?
No. I said I hadn't seen anything on TV this week. I saw a bit of Blade Trinity last night just as it was on, and I was flicking around.
You unlucky man.
Well, no, it's not great. But I saw her in that, and just caused me to look her up and see. Because when she was in Blade Trinity, which was 2004, she was 22.
Is that right?
Because she's only 26 now.
Yeah.
We're out aging the stars of today. It's quite depressing.
It's shocking. All these young'uns.
But yeah, I realised she was in
High School Musical ways.
She was in a TV show called Seventh Heaven for 10 years.
Right,
1996 to 2006. Oh, okay. So I think that's where she got her main kickstart from. And then she was in a remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 2003. Presumably one of many young up and coming actresses who got murdered.
Yeah.
And then she was in a few things, including Blade Trinity, and then Stealth, which again didn't do too well. She's been working up the ladder, and she's well known, but I don't think there's been in any films as a really defining. You know, everyone knows who she is now. So it's weird. She's one of those people who I know who she is, possibly just because she's hot, but she hasn't actually been in major films that have really set the world aflame.
What I'm intrigued by with that is that we've already mentioned we've got no internet access here, and you're basically a walking IMDb, aren't you, really?
Because only in
there was even some dates with some of those films you listed.
Because of running my website and looking at the IMDb a lot, I think film titles and dates tend to sort of go together. They do. I always see,
you know, it's not part of the film title, don't you? It's not called Stealth Brackets 2003.
It is in the case of 2001 and 2010.
2001 brackets.
2001. Yeah, that is true. You know. I can't think of any. Was 1984 made in 1984?
It was.
Oh, right. There's one.
There you go.
So it's sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, there we go.
Once. But anyway, yes. What have you got a picture of? No, sorry. Sorry. Go on, say it.
You know, well, you mentioned it now.
Sorry, because Paul's just bought a new laptop. But his old laptop is surviving just about, and that's the one we're recording it on. But because he's still copying stuff over, he's got his new laptop set up next to it. with all of his photos going through as a screensaver.
It is slightly distracting, isn't it?
It is, and there just seemed to be a picture of a crumpled up duvet on a bed.
Best
assuming I saw
ask.
It right.
Best not to ask.
Right, I don't know if there was someone in there, or... Anyway.
I'll tell you what, you read through... I'll tell you what, you read out, for our lovely listeners here, the best picture possibilities.
Right.
Well, I'll go back to the sofa picture, and I'll try and
just
report
see...
back as to exactly what it was.
Fair enough. So with this is changing from a film podcast into a narrating photos on your laptop screen.
Yeah, I know what that is.
What was it?
It's a crumpled duvet on a sofa.
Well, yeah. No, it's a crumpled duvet on it. Is that... Hang on, is that... That's the bedroom upstairs.
That's, exactly. That was me trying to pimp out my spare room.
Oh,
and so I had to take a photo of it to put it on the internet.
Right, and you took a photo of it with an unmade bed.
And it is actually... It's the filthiest room you've ever seen.
How did you ever get...
It's not even
anyone...
a made bed. It's... I don't know quite how we ever got someone to fill the room, actually.
I don't know.
But
I wouldn't want to meet the person who
but it clearly
was willing
works.
To live in that.
And I don't know why I've kept it on my laptop as a souvenir. Just, oh, to pop up occasionally. Remind me of that crumpled duvet.
Oh, happy days.
Yes.
You can tell it's slim picking cinematically this week.
This is more banter than movie
well,
in this particular
true.
Minute. But that's fine. We'll move straight back onto the movie.
It's entertaining, which...
Is it entertaining? We're talking about a crumpled duvet, to be honest.
Well, it's amusing us.
It's hardly Perrier winning, is it, really?
Well, very true. Perrier, oh, you with your Edinburgh obsession.
I know.
It's not even Perrier anymore.
I know, but yeah. It's hardly if.com Eddie winning, is it, really?
Oh, yeah, back to Perrier.
You're looking at an if.com comedy winner here, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you win?
I won this year. I won the was it the panel prize? The audience prize? Something
really?
Like that, yeah.
I don't think you mentioned that.
Well...
Are you lying?
No, I did win it.
So you just had a guilty grin.
If there's any comedian who's listened to this, then you'll know about this as well.
Yeah,
and you're probably a winner,
why.
Too. Yeah, because they couldn't work out how to give it to, the panel prize, and so they decided to award it to every comedian at the Edinburgh Festival. So as a result, I, for the rest of my life, can and will put on my poster, if.com Eddie winner 2008. I'm delighted to say. So thanks. I appreciate it. I'd like to thank God, my mum and my dad, if.com Eddie for being just stupid enough.
So to lazy to nominate
exactly,
everyone
it's
at
just
all.
Just idiotic.
Yes.
Anyway. However, if they're listening, I love you. So back to films.
Yes, back to films. Covered a wide tangent.
Oscars next year. It's creeping up on us. It's March, is that right? February or March?
I thought it was February. I can't remember.
It's around the cusp anyway.
I used to watch it back in the day. Now it's always on Sky, and I don't have Sky. So
I've watched it last 2 years, actually. I've stayed up.
That's because you've been pointless. Your parents have got Sky.
Really, it has. But yeah, so the best picture, best picture and best actress and best actor. Suggestions have come out today.
So I've never got. Are these just suggestions, or are these? Do they start from a pool of about 10?
To be honest, this isn't really. This is hardly. This is on the news website, but it's hardly news. This is just a bloke saying, "Here's some ideas. Could be any of these, really." You know, I don't know if it's any pundits particularly, but anyway, they do say that this is going to be a tricky one because, and you'll see from this list that I think pretty much, probably in America as well as the UK, pretty much none of these films have come out yet, and they say it's going to be a tricky year for it because. They're leaving so many films to the last minute to release that the people who've got to vote on the Oscars have got probably about 3 weeks to watch pretty much every film, which is going to be tricky, but, you know, they should work harder then. Come on, you know.
Well, that's true. What else have they got to do?
Round the clock. Come on, you know, if you're part of the Oscar panel, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're multi-millions of pounds. You'd have thought they can buy or hire someone to watch the films for them.
Well, actually, I'm shocked to hear that they have these Oscar sort of parties when they just throw for some friends. And just say, look, here's a list of the things we don't really care about, like makeup, short film. You choose. And they just let their friends and family just choose, without even watching it, just say, which one do you like the sound of? And it's the blooming Oscars, you know. They should really put a bit more effort and heart into it. But
But you know, hopefully it all kind of averages out. Because if everyone does that, then it all...
That's not a way to think it's going to work.
I'm trying to defend them. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I wouldn't. They're all rich and horrible. So...
We would all trade places with them in Hollywood.
I certainly would. We've built this up now for the last about 5 minutes, so we should get onto the list.
Very good.
Best picture. Here are some possibilities. Slumdog Millionaire. Heard of this?
I have, only tenuously. It involves something about who wants to be a millionaire. That's about as far as my knowledge
goes. It's Danny Boyle, who did Trainspotting.
Ah, yes.
And, it's filmed in India. And, he's got a cast of mostly locals. He's got a couple of guys from over here. But, yes, he wants to be a millionaire. And they've actually... It's made with the backing of... Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Right.
But the weird thing about it, I heard, is that actually, although, you know, once I heard that, I was there thinking, well, you know, it's a bit like that film, was it the House Bunny, made with cooperation with Playboy, and you're there thinking, is this just going to be an advert for Playboy?
Yeah.
And so equally, I heard that Danny Ball, you know, his work, it's actually partly funded by the production company who make Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But so I was there thinking, well, that's going to be a bit lame, isn't it? They're just going to be pushing how great the show is. Mm. But actually, interestingly, they don't, because the company who owned the rights to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to use in film are the ones who created it originally and then sold it. And I can't remember the company names for one or the other, but they sold it anyway and said, right, you lot can keep making it, but we own the rights to use it in film.
Right.
And so now they're using it in film, and it means they can be quite rude about it.
Yeah.
And they can be quite cutting.
They've got no vested interest.
Exactly, they don't care. It's not theirs anymore. Yeah, they sold it completely. So, and I think they've quite smartly realised that if they're ever going to use it in film, the way to do it is not to say, isn't the show brilliant, but actually to sort of undermine it a bit.
Yeah,
so,
because of cash in, it's a point, it's a thing that everyone knows about, and then you can do interesting things.
Exactly, exactly. So, but I hear good things about Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay. Is it a kid on it who's accused of cheating, or am I making that up?
It's a kid who just knows all the answers.
Right.
And from what I gather, I think it's that he happens to know the answers more than anything. And he's just very clever.
Yeah.
But yes, he becomes a national hero and equally a sort of national controversy. And it's not based on reality, but it's but yeah, from what I hear, it's just a really lovely, warm and funny at the right points, and interesting and even dark at the right points as well, sort of story.
Okay.
So yeah, I hear good things.
So typical Danny Boyle fare.
Exactly, yes. Then we've got, let's do The Visitor is another one, which is that's about immigration, and that's got being tipped for Best Actor nods as well. There's a guy, I forgot his name, but he's normally a supporting actor in lots of films, but he's been now sort of tipped as a finally for a Best Actor for this film, which is one of those that could then take it because he's got the respect of his peers.
Right.
So he's been, he's one of those guys you recognise from films for years, but actually now it's sort of his moment, so that's quite interesting. The Wrestler.
This one I'm looking forward to, which is David Fincher, I think.
Could be.
Am I right?
Yeah, I think it could be.
I think.
Again, we are internetless today, so we're fine.
It was David Fincher until I heard myself said it, and now suddenly I'm doubting that. But with Mickey Rourke playing
it's definitely him.
Yes, playing a washed up wrestler who has one last shot. He seems a bit Rocky esque, but for wrestling, sort of. But is apparently phenomenal, and I'm reporting this, but rather than commenting directly,
because I've seen the trailer.
This.
Looks good.
Well, yes, and apparently everyone's saying that it'll put Mickey Rourke back in the spotlight and give him the respect he deserves.
He's bulked up for this, certainly.
Looks
quite actual, blood vessels ready to burst, I think. But,
so it seems intriguing. It's an interesting idea and could be... Yeah, I think it could be a bit of a surprise, because it sounds... I think on paper it could be quite generic, as in, a wrestler makes a comeback, does well, that's it. But it's obviously done so well that it's being happily talked about in Oscar terms.
Yeah.
And if it is David Fincher, as I wish I knew for sure, then it'll be directed brilliantly because it's David Fincher.
Absolutely. Rachel Getting Married is the next on the list, which is, I believe that's the Anne Hathaway film, in which she breaks away from her sort of princess, fairy, la-di-da, Devil Wears Prada sort of,
Right. You're covering quite a wide range.
Well,
really.
But she always plays the nice goody two-shoes person, doesn't she?
Well, that's true. No, or Max, Get Smart, she wasn't that nice goody two-shoes.
Well, no, yeah, well, come on. That's still very sugar-coated, though,
well,
isn't
okay,
it?
A little bit.
Very sugar-coated.
Sugar-coated Anne Hathaway.
Oh,
sorry, carry on.
In this film, she plays a drug addict, basically. So she's really gone, that's beyond Get Smart territory,
so
I think it's fair to say.
Dusted with white powder.
Very true.
Different sort of...
Very true, just not sugar-coated.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Cocaine-coated Anne Hathaway. Oh. And then we've got two films, both directed by Clint Eastwood. He's a busy man, isn't he? He's not retiring.
I know, he's not slowing down. Surely as you get older, you're meant to start winding down and slowing down and getting a bit more doddery. And he's not. He's still directing brilliant films and could frankly still take on anyone he chooses
in a fight. He's directed two films in the last 12 months, both of which are Oscar, look like they could be Oscar nominated. One of them he's acting in as well. The two films, there's Gran Torino, which he's in and he's directing, and there's Changeling, which you've probably seen the posters for. That's Angelina Jolie. And it seems to be about a kid that she's lost and then it's returned to her and it's not hers.
It's based on a true story and it sounds horrific because it's 30s set, I think. And it starts off seeming to be a story about, a woman's lost her child, how tragic. So I sound slightly dismissive, that would be tragic. But it ends up being about the horrendous corruption of the LA police force at the time. The fact that they find a child, give it back to her and say, there's your child, off you go, and it's not hers.
How did they ever think that was going to win?
Because they were, at the time, they were the LAPD and thought, we can get away with this.
Is it the way that sort of...
And also because of the... Actually, no, maybe 20s, because it was the position that women were in at the time as well.
Right.
In that, essentially, they couldn't kick up much of a fuss.
But did they just think that she would go, oh yeah, that's mine, I don't never looked at this
face
much?
No, but they thought that if she said, hang on, this isn't my child, and kicked up a fuss, which she did, they could then lock her up for being mental, which they did.
Oh, okay.
So she gets...
That would make a good film.
Yeah.
I might watch that.
So she gets essentially ignored and then put away for being an hysterical woman.
Right.
And thus begins a massive long battle to prove that she's innocent and what happened to her child and is there someone actually out there kidnapping and murdering children.
Well, that's the winner for me. I mean, I haven't seen it, but it sounds great. Best picture.
I think it's meant to be good, but I've heard, in comparison, it's with... Letters from Iwo Jima and...
Flags of Our Fathers. Tales of the Riverbank.
No, I was thinking
Hammy the Hamster during the Second World War.
What was Brachavarma's book? Tales of My Father, or...
I thought it was Audacity of Hope. Was another one?
No, he's done two.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, we're getting confused. Anyway, but those two Clint Eastwood films from a year or two ago, I think were viewed similarly as these two. And I think there was one of them people thought would do brilliantly, and the other one wasn't viewed quite as well. And in the end... they kind of reversed. And I think it's the same with this, in that Changeling, people thought, oh, it's an amazing film that's going to do brilliantly, and it hasn't quite ignited everyone. But Gran Torino is now building in support.
Yes, yeah. Well, either way, the only danger is, of course, he could split the vote if people want to vote Eastwood.
No, true.
You know, but anyway, all credit to him, you know.
Well, yeah, it's impressive.
When Flags of Our Fathers and Letters to Iwo Jima, or for Iwo Jima? Two,
yes.
Two, four, or over, or through, or under Iwo Jima. Some letters
about
to do with Iwo Jima. When those two films came out, and I really wanted to see them, or either, both preferably. It's the only time I've actually written a letter to a cinema chain complaining.
Really?
Because it was one of the times I was gigging across the country somewhere, and so I thought, right, I've got to go from Guildford to Manchester, and I've got a day to do it. I can go via any cinema.
Yeah.
But I've got a pass for Cineworld, and so I want to go to a Cineworld.
Yeah, why not?
So I looked on the internet and I looked at every Cineworld cinema that was anywhere between Guildford and Manchester, which is about 30.
Yeah,
there's lots of them.
Covers quite a lot of ground.
Just to find Flags of Our Fathers or Letters to, from, over, or under Iwo Jima. And it contained none of those films. None of the cinemas had it.
Huh.
And yet they had Epic Movie in five screens in every single one of them. And I was just... So I wrote a letter to them and said, look, please, just put it on in one little screen.
Throw one screen to...
You know, Clint Eastwood, it's both of... I think at that point, it was just after the Oscars, so he'd won the Oscar for one of them, you know, Oscar-winning, two critically acclaimed films.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a new director, like a new act on the block. No one's
untested.
Who's heard of this Eastwood character? You know, we won't put him in our cinemas. Let's put Epic Bloody Movie in five screens. Excuse me, I get annoyed. But I think we mentioned it last week. If you've seen any of these something movie films, just don't, okay?
Yes.
And instead, write to your cinema chain and say, stop showing them. Please show a Clint Eastwood film. Just a nice, you know, independent sort of film. This isn't even an independent film. This is just an interesting Oscar-winning film.
Exactly.
Really.
Produced by an incredibly successful director who everyone's heard of. And, yeah, maybe so, if you put it on in a screen, people might go and see it.
Exactly.
Shock
so,
horror.
Once again, Changeling and Gran Torino probably won't be on in any screens. Instead, you'll find Christmas Movie in eight screens. So good luck in trying to catch either of those.
Actually, yeah, they haven't done that one yet, have they?
Christmas Movie.
Yeah.
Oh, don't give me... No.
Oh, sorry.
I think they might be listening.
Yeah, no, I think with our early days podcast, we're probably...
We've cut them out.
Off their radar.
I think you're right.
Yet.
Let's hope so. The
Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight
is on the list. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's on the list because it's on the medium short list before being whittled down to the final five, or if it's just being bandied around because it's likely to be held in high regard.
I can't see it. I mean, it was a good film, but I'll be honest. I was one of the ones who saw it and enjoyed it. But I mean, the hype was huge around The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
and I don't quite feel it lived up to it. I think it's still very good, but I wouldn't give it an Oscar.
No, it's weird. I wouldn't probably give it Best Picture Oscar, but I think it mainly because up against some of the films listed there. I think some of the others are slightly more deserving, maybe. But it's weird, like Johnny Depp being nominated for Pirates of the Caribbean Best Actor.
Yeah,
he may not have been necessarily Best Actor, but he's worth being included because it's unusual that a performance like that is even remotely considered in the same group.
It does show a shift from the sort of worthy films to, you know, actually here's a film of entertainment and we'll nominate someone for it.
Well, exactly. Well, this proves that a film that might just be viewed as entertainment has the potential to be to transcend that and be and cover a far wider ground.
So you think Heath Ledger for a Best Actor?
Nah, I'm not sure about that personally. I know I feel slightly bad for saying that, not because it's a bad performance, but again because I think it's a very interesting performance, and it was a great performance. I mean, I loved watching him on screen, but there are probably better acting performances this year than that. But I think he'll probably get in there because
he'll get his moment, because when they do the, you know, in memoriam people we've lost this year, that'll get a standing ovation for him.
Yes,
he'll certainly get that.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I mean, you've got to ask, if he'd lived, would he still be thought of in Oscar terms? Possibly, maybe.
I think you would, but again, I think it's a slightly weird comparison, but in the same way, like the Lord of the Rings films were all nominated, didn't win until the last one. I think Heath Ledger wouldn't have been nominated, or might have been nominated, but wouldn't be expected to win, because everyone would have thought, wow, this is a great performance. What's he going to do in the future? He's going to be so much better.
So they're waiting for the last one.
Yes.
And now they've
got
the last one.
And now this is his last one. And so he may...
Terry Gilliam film. He's got one on the way.
True, but he's only in that partially.
No, okay.
So I don't know, but I can't quite see him winning because there are other people who deserve it just as much, not necessarily better, but just as much as he does. And they are they'd probably be slightly miffed if he won instead of them.
Well, you mentioned Best Actor there, so let's move on to here's a couple of suggested four nominees. Again, this means nothing. This is just a random news story generated
pre-nominee
by the news cycle. This is two suggestees for Best Actor, and yeah, one thing interesting is that, I mean, these two guys, they're both portraying American presidents. We got Frank Langella for Frost Nixon, which he plays Richard Nixon, and you've got Josh Brolin for W. So yeah, just I think that's probably a first when you've got two movie presidents.
Probably,
which actually shows how, you know, the American election has impacted on sort of cinema already this year, and people are making films about it.
But also because there are a few films that have the president centre stage, but normally the president as a character is pushing the story along rather than central to the whole film.
Yeah.
I can't think of that many films where the president is, you know, such a large part of it that the actor who plays him could get nominated.
Well, very rarely the very central. Well, the films that do have presidents in often are slightly fun actioneering. Sort
yes.
Of, you know, you couldn't see Harrison Ford being nominated for Air Force One particularly.
True.
It's an action romp. But that leads us on to probably which will be our final point, I suppose. We've probably done a half hour or so.
Well, we could do, but I think we're not limited by specific...
Well, I am. I'm going to go to Leeds.
Oh, fair enough.
But yeah, I'm spending a week in Leeds, so I'll be seeing every film in the cinema. So next week, the podcast will be review-tastic.
Yes.
I shall review everything.
Rock solid, wall-to-wall.
I will not only be reviewing the films, I'll be reviewing the popcorn from Bradford Cineworld and Castleford Cineworld. Didsbury Cineworld. So it's going to be a rock. It's going to be a roll. Mainly the films.
Yeah,
do tune in. Don't worry. I probably won't review much of the popcorn.
Exactly.
I might bring some back.
We'll
have a little taste test.
Really? I think
no,
after a week.
You're right, actually.
It's probably a week old already.
You're probably too right.
If you want to do a popcorn podcast, then which was another suggested name for this one.
We could do a spin off podcast about popcorn.
I think you can do that one yourself.
Thanks.
I don't think you need me, really.
But then, you know,
unless you just want me to try and go, ugh, that tastes awful.
Do I do a sweet popcorn podcast or a salted?
No.
Or a tough, maybe you have to do two podcasts, I think. We have to do a sweet popcorn podcast. And then there's butter. Oh, I don't know. It's gonna go on. This is the spin off.
Some sort of 8-hour popcorn spectacular.
A spin off too far, I think. So, lastly, then, you know, it's sort of still slightly topical, the American presidential election. Barack Obama, the breaking news is that he is still not president yet.
Yes.
But everyone wants him to be. So Bush is phoning it in, I think, last couple of weeks.
Well,
really.
Yeah. Well, I think he has for the last couple of months, really.
Last 8 years, I think,
well,
really.
Well, yes.
But But yeah, I love the fact Obama was shown around the White House this week by Bush, yeah. And which is just quite sweet, really. You know,
so here are the cupboards.
Exactly. There you go. What do you think? You know, oh well, we're looking at another in Pittsburgh. But thanks. this button's for the central heating. This button haven't pushed it yet, but might. But movies do, you know, as you say, you've got presidents sometimes in the leading role, sometimes in supporting roles. But which movie president would be the best? Now, this is Harry Hill's TV burp. I then go, fight! And then they'd come in and fight, but it's not.
Or if you're a Good at Mask reader, you just go, who you got? And then they'd fight.
Absolutely, there you go. But we're neither of those. So instead, your choices then for good movie president. Let's put two against each other, first of all. Let's go Air Force One versus Independence Day. Thomas J. Whitmore, that's the Bill Pullman character from Independence Day, who fights the aliens, versus James Marshall, which is Harrison Ford, in Air Force One. Now, this sort of works as a race because they're about the same sort of time period. Was it 95 Independence Day, 97
yep.
Air Force One,
I think?
That's
right.
And Harrison Ford's...
Oh, no, Independence Day is 96.
Oh, there you go. Walking IMDb is correcting me here. But Thomas J. Whitmore in Independence Day, Democrat, James Marshall, Harrison Ford, punching terrorists out on his own plane. He was Republican. This could be a genuine race. Who you got for it?
Well, it's a weird one. In terms of... being a, well, I want to say violent sociopath, but he's obviously not. In terms of far more physically aggressive, you've got Harrison Ford, who is obviously willing to get stuck in, defending his family, standing up for what's right. But also, Bill Pullman gives, albeit in a very popcorn-y way, he gives one of the best speeches in cinema
All time. Oh, I cried. I cried when I heard that.
Well, yeah, it's still... It's obviously, it's just hideously button-pushing jingoism. But it's... It still gets a reaction from me.
I think Obama should have just quoted that, just word for word.
He pretty much did. It's a very, very well delivered speech, and yeah, people could probably say there are parallels to be drawn between that and Barack Obama's speech, because some people have said of Barack Obama that he has, you know, lots of style and not much substance in his speech giving, and I think the same is true of that Bill Pullman speech, he delivers it brilliantly. But it's fairly standard fare. But he hits all the right notes.
He does, doesn't he? This is just after he personally delivers the fatal blow to the aliens.
No, he doesn't.
Doesn't he?
No. Randy Quaid.
Oh, Randy Quaid does.
Up,
you're quite right.
Right.
Apologies,
the...
Randy.
Rest in peace.
But no, he does fly. He does fly. The president gets in a plane, and everyone goes, "Yeah, gung-ho, yeah. President."
Well, at the same time, everyone thinking, surely that's one of the most irresponsible things.
a little bit.
He's meant to be commander in chief, not.
Well,
the pack.
I got in my notes here, just before all this in the film, Thomas J. Whitmore's approval rating was slipping below 40%, so he needed to get in that plane to try and win the votes back again. Although he was, apparently, the day before the alien attack, voted one of the sexiest men of the year, so that's quite
really?
Nice.
Really? Bill Pullman?
Well, no, President Whitmore.
Yeah, but he looks exactly like
he has
Bill
got the
Pullman.
Same face, I suppose.
Exactly. And Bill Pullman has surely never been voted sexiest man.
Well, he hasn't, but I suppose it's, you know, women like a bit of power, don't they?
No.
You know, you can't just, you know, if he was a plumber, you know, if Obama was a plumber, he wouldn't be on top front of Time magazine.
True. Oh, no, although Joe the plumber, actually, no, he hasn't.
That's true.
He's been on Time magazine.
No, he hasn't, has he? So Thomas J. Whitmore probably
But Harrison Ford is willing to get stuck in and, you know, he's doing the right thing. It's a close match.
It's a close match.
If it was... In terms of leadership, then Bill Pullman probably edges it because he does the grander gesture. In terms of an actual face-to-face fist fight, Harrison Ford would probably win.
I'd want to see a fight to the death, I think. Yeah, between the two of them. I think
also, Harrison Ford, I'm sure, has actually been voted Sexiest Man of the Year at some point.
Yes.
Whereas Bill Pullman, I'm fairly sure, no disrespect to the man, I'm fairly sure he never has been.
Who else have we got? We've got President James Dale from Mars Attacks, of course, Jack Nicholson, of course. He wasn't a good president, was he, I don't think?
Well, no. I remind you of the quote from Futurama. Where he says only two things he does well: suck and die.
Is that right? Fair enough. He does do that, certainly.
He
does greet the aliens, though, so give him that much.
Well, yeah, and they then kill him.
Well, true.
Later on, admittedly, but still.
Chris Rock and Head of State. I'm delighted that I haven't seen that film.
I'd imagine he'd be a fairly dangerous president, eh?
Now, what about the comedy presidents then? Because you've got Baxter Harris from Scary Movie 3 and 4. That's Leslie Nielsen's president.
Well, I love Leslie Nielsen.
Love a bit of the Nielsen. But equally, I think that was also partly modelled on, what's he called, Tug Benson, is that right?
Oh, yes. From Hot Shots Part Deux.
From Hot Shots Part Deux by Lloyd Bridges, yeah.
Who is an absolute genius.
Who made a wonderful president, didn't he?
He's a president, I think, in the same way that, well, for UK listeners, Boris Johnson, the London mayor. I'd like to see Tug Benson as president for the sake, you know, it's not even outside of his decision-making ability. He's just such a comedy character. I'm intrigued to see what would happen.
Tug Benson's re-election campaign slogan was Tug Benson, the simple solution.
Nice. You can see George Bush running under that.
Yeah,
I'm
a little bit worried about that.
You can see Sarah Palin running under that.
So yeah, well, there's you know, but I think that actually a great comedy one, although, you know, played in the right tone, I think, not all out for laughs, but is Peter Sellers' one, isn't it?
Merkin Muffley,
that's right, from Dr. Strangelove. He's a great president, isn't he? I'm going to find the information on him. You talk about him for a minute.
Well,
find the information.
He was ineffective. And just a bit, but he did have, was it him who had the great line, "You can't fight in the war room"?
Exactly, yes. Yes, he did.
And trying desperately to separate it. But George C. Scott, I would have liked to see as president.
I would not like to see him as president.
Really?
That would be frightening.
Oh, come on.
That would be frightening. I just love, President Merkin Muffley, which is a wonderful name for a start. But his phone call to the Russian president is hilarious.
The obviously drunk and irritated Russian president.
Dmitry, no, I of course I'd love to just call to phone Dmitry. No, it'd be wonderful. But just right now, it's about the bomb. very funny. Who else we got here? President Richard Nixon. That was serving his fourth term in Back to the Future Part 2 in the alternate reality. So that's good.
There's also, I can't remember his name, but, well, the president from Dave.
Oh, Dave, yeah. Divine. Yeah, that's right. Dave Kovic.
It depends which, of course. I think the president that he replaces
was rubbish.
Yes, and then he swoops in as a complete outside
President chance. William Harris Mitchell is the rubbish one, and then Dave Kovic comes in and is nice and friendly. But he doesn't stay, does he, at the end of the film?
No.
He fakes his own death and later runs for Washington, D.C. City Council.
But do you really want a nice, friendly president?
Well, not really, no. Steel. No, exactly. I mean, what else? Michael Douglas in The American President.
That's true.
Andrew Shepherd, he's called. He's all right.
Sort of softly spoken, but yeah. Knows what he believes in.
He does. And I'll see if I can find probably one other for us here somewhere. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the X Dimension.
Oh, I watched that.
Really?
I watched that quite a while ago because I'd heard tales about it, and it's one of the weirdest films I've ever seen in my life. Because it's got, I can't remember his name now, Peter, who played Robocop? Peter Weller.
Yes.
In it. And it's just, it's such a weird film. I can't even explain it. If you get a chance to rent it and watch it, give it a try because it's just bizarre. It's about trans-dimensional beings who come into Earth and he's a. Peter Weller plays a rock band member who's also a trained doctor who fights off the aliens. It's all very strange, but makes for, I wouldn't quite so go far as entertaining viewing, but it's a random watch.
The only quote I've got, I mean, I haven't seen this film, Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the X Dimension. The only quote it's got here from President Widmark, who's the president in that film, is a quote saying, "Buckaroo, I don't know what to say. Lectroids, Planet 10, nuclear extortion, a girl named John." That's it.
Yeah,
I mean,
that sums up the film quite nicely.
There you go. So if that makes you want to know more, then watch that film.
Well, it's viewed as a cult classic, and that kind of tells you everything you need to know about it.
Yeah, fair enough. Last couple of movie presidents I mentioned, in the one from Armageddon and The Rock is the same president, incidentally.
Really?
That ties the two films together, played by Stanley Anderson. So that's
oh,
he's
unnamed
briefly
in both.
But yes,
albeit different writer and director and everything else.
But yes, the Love Actually president's pretty good. Billy Bob Thornton.
He's not very good.
Wait, no, he's awful.
He's awful.
But it sums up. No, I'm not going to go there.
I think it was meant. Actually, no, it wasn't meant to be a George Bush parody because. He's a bit, George Bush isn't. I mean, for any flaws that people view, he has correctly.
He's quite Bill Clinton, though, isn't he? He was a bit,
philandering,
and you know,
I think he's Bill Clinton without the restraints.
He's really the UK attitude to any American president, really.
I think that is it. Yes,
we package them all together, and it becomes that. Yeah. And
so actually, the president in Clear and Present Danger, I quite like, just because he's so massively ineffectual.
Yes.
When Harrison Ford, he's just this easily bossed about. Idiot who everyone persuades him to go to war and then he has second thoughts about it and then it all comes back to bite him quite impressively.
So if you had to pick from all of this lot, I mean, I've literally got probably hundreds here of American presidents. Oh, Martin Sheen in The Dead Zone, of course. Yeah, Martin Sheen for the, you know,
yeah, almost
nice
complete,
one in
almost
The West Wing.
The complete opposite.
He played the opposite in The Dead Zone. That was quite impressive, yeah. The president in The Postman, have you seen that? The Kevin Costner film?
No, I haven't actually.
President Richard Starkey, which is therefore making him Ringo Starr. So, in this post apocalyptic view of the future, Ringo Starr becomes president. That's rather frightening.
It's slightly scary.
So, of the lot, then, if you could pick any American president from the films, put you on the spot here now.
Well, to have as an actual.
To have
as a world leader.
Yeah, you know, the choices are Obama, McCain, or a third option, which is any fictitious movie president. Who would it be?
I'm leaning Obama because yeah, he's real and he's slightly easier to get a grip on. But Bill Pullman in Independence Day,
the speech doesn't it? It's the speech.
It's the speech, and it's the same reason that I think Obama appeal in because we have no vested interest in America's policies directly in terms of their president directly, but it's more the global inspiration factor, which I think Barack Obama has and John McCain doesn't.
True.
With yeah, for all of his great qualities, I'm sure he has. He's not an inspirational speaker.
Yeah.
And so you internationally, all you really get is
So all we want is a good speaker.
Pretty much.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or someone who can speak well and encourage people to do good things themselves.
Yeah.
And he can just sit at home with his feet up.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. Thomas J. Whitmore from Independence Day. I'm going to go for from the Simpsons movie. Not President Schwarzenegger.
Oh, right.
At the very end, after Itchy returns home from the moon, he's regarded as a hero and elected president. So I'm going to vote for President Itchy.
Right.
Whose running mate is apparently Hillary Rodham Clinton. So anyway.
Interesting. Yeah. But he'll then end up with an axe in his head.
Well, true, but you know.
Not from Hillary Clinton necessarily, but.
But then it's just like, you know, a modern day JFK. We can all say we were there, we remember it when, you know, was it the axe from the grassy knoll?
Put through the blender.
Or was it the axe from the book suppository? Suppository?
Book suppository?
A giant. Oh dear. That would be uncomfortable.
Well, that's true. But think how much knowledge you'd get.
Wow. I don't think you'd take it in that way, would you?
Well, that's a suppository. I mean, there's only so many ways you can take a suppository in.
Yeah, but you wouldn't take the knowledge in that way, though, would you?
Oh, you might do.
Well, you'd know
have you ever tried it?
You'd know not to do it again. That's a good point.
So paperback only, I think.
Oh, think of the cuts. Paper cuts.
No.
Yeek.
Unless you kind of mulched it, then you wouldn't get. Then you couldn't read it.
I don't want the mulch either, to be honest.
Well, fair enough.
Either way, I do not want a book building up me.
No. Probably better. No, but if it's suppository, not depository, then there's no.
Oh, that's true. It's on your book, isn't it? Oh, that's true.
That's, my
point. That's all right. That's just not so bad.
That's my point.
In my image, I had the entire building, which was.
And we've been there.
We have.
It's a big building.
When he says we've been there, doesn't mean we've experienced the moment of shoving an entire book building up.
The book depository.
Yes.
Not that there was no suppository involved.
There was no suppository. I keep telling yourself that.
I still got the dreams.
On that bombshell, we should probably wrap up. So thank you for staying with us, and yes, we shall return in Movie Banter
next week,
part trois.
When are you back?
I'm back next week, so we'll do another one next week.
Fair enough.
And I shall tell you all about every film I've seen in the entire cinema.
Yeah, Paul will have been touring the country cinemas, and I will not have been ill.
I will see.
I'm realizing now my voice is still reflecting.
It's still there, isn't it? A little bit.
Yeah, which is weird because it wasn't a throat thing I was ill with.
It's just
anyway.
Your body's just making out.
It is, frankly. Yeah. I'm just a mess.
I will come back reviewing every film that is screened in Cineworld across the country, which will be Epic Movie eight times. So we can look forward. We can look forward to eight reviews of Epic Movie. But no, do yes, if you want to, please rate us on iTunes. That would be nice.
Yes, we are now on iTunes. Are we searchable yet?
By the time you listen to this, we're bound to be.
We are definitely listed on there because we've got a web address that links to it.
And you can email us as well at one of our email addresses, which we're not going to tell you.
Go to any of our websites.
Yes.
An email, which is either moviemistakes.com or themovietimeline.com or ruinedendings.com or paulcarenza.com.
Exactly, you've got four choices there.
Yeah,
so
we're
use one of them, tell your friends, watch films, and only watch good films. Avoid the bad ones.
Yes.
And we'll see you again next time on Movie Banter.
Farewell.
Fare you well.